If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This is good news.
Good news.
For all the single people in Rochester.
Yeah, buddy. Game on.
It could also be bad news if you're having a hard time meeting someone. Because it turns out, where we are, It literally does not get any better than this.
This is great news.
And as crazy as it sounds,
yeah,
when you look around you, it may actually make sense.
Mm.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF, Rochester, New York.
What are we getting?
Has been named the best city for dating in America.
Wait, for dating.
Number one.
Yes, in America. A number one, nobody better in this country than Rochester.
Damn.
The study done by Consumer Affairs. Ever heard of them?
Oh, yeah, it's a big magazine.
I'll be honest, I don't even know. I didn't know it was a magazine.
It used to be a magazine.
Okay,
magazine.
I thought it was like
I didn't know if they did dating.
I don't know. Well, they did dating here.
I mean, that's where you went to get like your stereo.
Well, it helps you with dating, though.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, put some on the hi-fi.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Study done by Consumer Affairs gives two big reasons why Rochester, New York is the best place for single people in America.
What's
you ready?
That? Yeah.
One. We have a lot of single people.
Okay.
For every 1,000 residents, 682 are flying solo.
All right.
So almost 70% of Rochester residents, according to the study, are single. It's the second highest rate in America. Did you guys know that?
No.
70% of people who live in the greater Rochester area are single?
No. That's insane.
Wow.
That just doesn't make sense.
I know, but you call Consumer Affairs liars?
I guess. Mm-hmm.
Two. The study says that Rochester gives, and I quote, ample opportunities for social connection with affordability in a way like few other cities. And I think what that says?
Yeah.
When we get out and meet each other,
yeah,
not only are there lots of places to do it.
To mingle.
It's not very expensive.
Okay.
And that also makes sense. Think of all the things here in the summertime.
Festivals
that are relatively cheap. Right? Like all the places you can go as a single person without having to drop $200 on fancy. Like a few drinks at the Lilac Festival or the Fairport Canal Days, totally acceptable date.
Gets the job done.
And that'll run you what, $15-$20?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. With all that being said, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Would singles listening agree that Rochester, New York is the best place in America for you? And this is appropriate for you, Tommy.
Why is that?
Well, you have been the longest single adult living in Rochester of anyone in this room.
Yeah.
Do you feel like Rochester is a great place for single people?
It was way more inexpensive than living, like you said, in a big city.
Okay, so expense-wise it works.
Yeah, because like being single and going out is expensive.
Yes, it is.
And I didn't realize that at first. But then I was like, oh, god damn, how much does this cost to me?
No, because I remember you saying, like, when you first got divorced the second time here, how you thought you were going to go out every night, I'm going to do what I want, man. Yeah. I'm going to live the free life.
Yeah. But it costs.
Okay.
So I can't imagine doing that in a big city.
All right. So
to your point.
Cost-wise, it worked for you.
Mm-hmm.
What about meeting people?
Yeah. What about it?
No, I'm saying like when it came to meeting people, was it easy for you to meet people?
Yeah, I mean, I dated a bunch of girls.
You sound like a 12-year-old. I dated like a bunch of girls. I got a girlfriend now. She lives in Canada, though. You don't know her. She could come.
Yeah, I met her at summer camp.
She might come and homecoming dance. I don't know. She'll try to work it out with immigration.
But most of the girls I dated, and I was also older.
Yeah.
So I was 44, 45.
Okay.
And most of the women I dated then were in their, like, mid to low 30s.
Okay.
But, what? Yeah,
hold
I mean.
Hold on. Kimmy made a face. Why'd you make a face?
I'm surprised.
Why? Why are you surprised?
Because usually when, you know, women look to date an older man, they look for maturity. They
yeah,
look
but I
for
lied.
A comfortable lifestyle.
But you can lie about that.
No, but the second time they saw you.
Yeah, but I still got them back to my house and banged.
Okay. Right.
Like, you know, I tapped them.
Yeah, nothing says millionaire like three empty desperate. Rooms.
Well, she ain't. Like, you think
don't look over there. It's like the Phantom of the Opera.
You think I'm.
Don't look in the dining room.
They probably looked at like, well, he's got a house, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, the range of these women were vast.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, some were, you know, some were nice.
Yeah?
Some were in the middle.
Okay.
I dated twos to tens. in my yardstick of women.
Okay, gotcha. Kimmy, you were going to say, I'm sorry.
Does a yardstick go to 10?
No. Well, I mean, I guess you could break it down into 10s.
What does it go to? Oh, 3 foot?
Isn't it three feet?
Yeah, 3 feet.
That's more than 10, isn't it?
No, more 3 is inches? Less than 10.
What are you talking about?
What are you shut up.
I thought I might have used the wrong analogy.
Yeah, no, we kind of got to blow past it. You know, it's conversations like this, which is why Tommy was so popular. The signal.
By the way, you know,
many tens in a yard?
But you get them drunk. Get them drunk, but you know, have some fun. I think I was a fun date.
Are you kidding? I've been on dates with you involuntarily.
Yeah, but you didn't put out.
Still ended up back at your place though, multiple times. Kimmy, you were gonna say. I'm sorry.
You would think that
you're having a hard time imagining me laying down and banging chick on my couch.
I've gotten past it.
Somebody stains on that couch, man.
Oh, bro, that thing was stained.
Only half of them from you.
Like some nights, I didn't have to feed my dog.
Oh God!
He could just lick the cushion and get all his protein.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning.
You were not able to be gross this weekend, were you?
I don't know. Normal gross.
It's all coming out now. Damn it, I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, right. Don't blame me.
Let me reset. Well,
yeah,
you think.
Shut up about
your gross
couch.
You're disturbed about me having intercourse with a young woman.
I'm beyond that. You keep bringing it back up.
Some of these girls were your age or young.
No.
It's actually disturbingly true.
Yes, it was.
252 WCMF. Consumer Affairs has named Rochester, New York, the best city for singles and dating in America. They say that 682 for every 1,000 residents are single. Almost 70% of Rochester residents are single. They say it's the second highest rate in America. They also say it's easy to meet each other and that it's affordable, unlike most other American cities.
But you would think having that many single people means dating isn't going well.
So that's a great point. That's a really great point.
Right? If it was a great place to find somebody, there would be more people that are in relationships.
Okay, but here's the thing. I mean, they do make a distinction. This isn't a study on the best place to meet someone.
Okay, it's simply just dating around.
I'm sorry. The best place to settle down with someone, it's dating.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of people I know dating, especially in their 30s, like, they keep looping around to, like, the same people or in the same circles. Like, even if they find somebody new, they're like, oh, well, they're friends with this other person. Like, it's hard to find somebody that's, you know, just completely new.
No, you're right.
You know?
I think the biggest drawback of being single in this town is everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take, Kimmy, to your point, long to tear through all of the single people in your age group, which is why this troll of a human being managed to meet women over and over again. He's from out of town. Look at him. Wow.
He's from Florida.
That must be what the sun does to your face.
But even when I first moved here, I was 34. And I was dating a 21-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen pictures of you.
But I thought Florida was easy.
Ew.
Charm like that again. Why, they just kept
They just kind of fell
up.
In your lap.
Okay. I don't know. Like, when you look at this, I get your point, Kimmy. Mm. You make a very valid argument. But as someone who has now been married for almost 15 years, you know, you've been with your wife now for over 10.
Yeah.
Kimmy, you've been with your husband. You know, he was trying since you were high school, but you finally gave in.
What, to leave?
It does feel like when someone you know breaks free and becomes single, they're never single for long around here. Like, the turnover from this relationship has ended to I met someone new is always just like, wow.
And there's always people trying to get you, trying to also play matchmaker.
Yeah, well, a lot of Italians in this town.
Yeah. But that happens a lot, too. I know somebody for you.
Do you think that because of the turnaround is so fast, do you think that has something to do with what we call, isn't it like called cuffing season?
Okay, can you explain
to Tommy
what
cuffing season?
You're going to have to explain this to Tommy.
Well, cuffing used to mean something else.
And that's why I'm going to have her explain it to you before you could speak.
It's essentially like you enter into an agreement with somebody else. Like, we're going to be together while the weather's crappy.
Okay.
Or like, you know, from like the end of fall to early spring. And then we're going to break off and go our separate ways. But for now, it's just a comfort thing.
A little companionship.
When we're not getting out and about.
Nice.
It's not quite dating, but it's more than friends with benefits.
Well, that sounds great.
Okay.
But I got a feeling if I brought this up, you all would have shut that down.
What, cuffing?
Yeah.
No, it's a standard.
Yeah, you're committed. You're just a scumbag. You just want somebody because it's cold out.
There's a difference between whether...
Yeah, my mouth.
Oh, my God. There's a difference between whether or not that is a good idea and whether or not it exists. Kimmy is simply saying cuffing exists and we have a long cuffing
I just want
season.
Your body for the heat.
I mean, that's essentially what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. Like, here's the other thing too, man. Like, when we talk about the people that come around, right, and or the people that break off and then end up with somebody else really quick, they're always, at least the guys we know, they're out of their league.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, it's just, it seems like there are desperate, desperate women in this town that are willing to latch themselves onto anything.
Thank God. And take advantage of
it. No, I mean, what do you mean take advantage of it?
Take advantage of it. If you see a chick that's over your head that is willing, do not pass that up.
Okay, to that point, Dana writes us on Facebook, "This is great for men. It's terrible for women. I'm married, but I've watched my single friends settle for guys that are not worth their time just so they could have someone. All of Rochester are good-looking women with gross guys." Kimmy, do you agree with what Dana just said?
There's an example of this sitting amongst us.
Yeah, him. You.
Oh, I do.
I mean, no, Kimmy, I want you to think of your single friends.
Yeah.
That met somebody. Mm-hmm. Did they always take a step down? Oh, look at her trying to be careful. Yeah. Politician Kimmy.
I'm trying to think. Kind of. Like, the people that they were, like, felt the most comfortable with seemed to be somebody that was probably a step down, yeah.
They settled for. So basically, you settle for something.
Or settle for, realize, like, you know, just, I don't know. I can't think of an example where it was the opposite way.
So you settle for your husband, then?
Huh?
You settle
for
your husband?
You asked about my single friends.
No, I'm just asking. No, I understand, but I'm just saying, if we're going to do this.
No.
No? Not I. I mean, obviously, your husband settled for you. But no, I mean, I find it strange.
He's on a calendar.
At what point? Yeah, he is. By the way, didn't get the new calendar. I saw the new calendar. Didn't see him in there.
No, he's not in there.
Did he, buddy? You put on the weight.
One and done.
Okay. at what age is the cutoff, Kimmy, where women stop deciding, I'm going to go for what I deserve?
I think, you know, the older you get and the smaller the pool, it's maybe your priorities change.
Okay.
So you said, like, I hit 35, they started getting desperate? So they just find the guy to get the job done?
What? Wait,
they find
a
guy, they're 35, yeah. They just want to find a guy to get the job done, to settle down and have a kid.
Yeah, and I also think that some of the better looking, I'm not even listening to him anymore, the better looking guys that are still single at that age, they don't really want to settle down.
Okay.
You know what
Why
I mean?
Would
like,
they
may date for a little while, but then they realize they want two separate things, so it's...
If you're a good-looking guy, you can get any woman you want. Why would you settle down?
Okay, that kind of what?
What is wrong with him? He's such an idiot.
I don't know.
Well, why would they say if they're good-looking and all these women are falling over?
Eventually, you get like kind of lonely. You want something more in life.
Maybe not. Maybe they're having fun.
I guess not. I don't know.
Maybe they're having fun not being bossed around.
Man, is your wife sleeping in today or something?
I don't know. You're the one that made the decision to do it again.
And again and again. Yeah. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Consumer Affairs says that Rochester, New York is the best place for singles in America. In America, they say that 682 for every 1,000 Greater Rochester residents are single. They say that's the second highest rate in America. They also say that Rochester gives, quote, ample opportunities for social connection with affordability in a way like few other cities.
I wonder if for like what we talked about, well, I kind of thought was a negative of you always knowing somebody or the same kind of groups coming back around again. Maybe that's actually a positive in some people's eyes because you kind of feel like you already have a connection to this person and you know them to some extent. You
okay.
Know what I mean? Like maybe you've heard good things about this person or maybe there's like a comfort there of like knowing somebody who knows somebody, that connection.
I mean, I get it. Look, I've only grown up here.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know because pretty
like
much
have things in common, maybe.
Pretty much everyone I've ever dated, with the exception of my wife, I knew someone who knew them before.
Dad was a cop. They probably arrested him.
We went to like school together. This man who still has outstanding tickets from 20 years ago. Right? Like, I think there's a difference between, a massive difference, like the excitement of meeting someone new versus the comfort of knowing I am familiar with this person. And I don't know which one would be better, right? Like, I have an idea that this is going to go well because I know X, Y, Z, and I know this person's background, or this is all completely new and I'm going to find out along with this person if we're compatible.
And that's going to be more exciting than doing the same old, same old.
It also has the ability to pull up.
Yeah, unless you're, I think like the older you are dating, the more you're probably, the less you may be looking for that excitement of the unknown?
I don't know, though, because if you were in a relationship for a while, let's say you were married 5, 10, 15 yeah. years, whatever, right? I mean, every day.
Not something completely different.
Well, I mean, like, there's not
a lot. You want to change.
Excitement. Yeah. Just excitement. Like, I mean, look, marriage.
I don't want to fall into another rut right out of a rut. If you're at a rut in your marriage, you get out of it. You don't want to fall into another one.
No, I understand, but like to say you are married, you can't say like, hey, I don't want to fall into another rut.
No, but I dated around for a while.
From rut to rut till death do us part. Ashes to ashes, rut to rut. Don't hug in the kitchen. You did date around for a while.
Yeah.
But you say that like you were, here's my favorite.
And some of them were crazy.
But here's my favorite part about this. Like, he sits here now, yeah. right, with thinking that, like, I don't remember how stuff went. Like, he wasn't looking for a relationship. You try to play it up, yeah. like, yeah, man, yeah. I was just like.
No, I wasn't.
I was playing the field and,
What?
You weren't looking for a relationship?
In the beginning, no. I just got out of, I just got divorced after, what was it, 7 years?
That first 7 hours, I was not looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, it's okay. Like, you wanted to find somebody. Eventually, we all need.
You don't want to find somebody right away. You don't want to be that guy that. I've known guys that got divorced and they immediately find somebody, they settle down, and next thing you know, they're getting remarried.
Sure.
And they didn't date anybody else.
Understood.
I'm going, and they kind of found the same chick again.
Okay, but chicks do the same thing yeah. with guys.
I yeah. get it, but that's not good.
No, I get it. But how long between your divorce and you meeting your wife?
So I was divorced at 44. I didn't meet my wife till
103.
Yeah. 104 years old. So I was 50.
Okay.
When I met my wife.
So 6 years.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, I get it. Like, the first 2 years, you were just, like, playing the field. Cool. This is awesome. Like, let's not pretend that last 4 years wasn't, like, desperately sad and lonely for you. Whoa.
I had heat.
Yeah.
And I had a mortgage and a second mortgage.
And a moped.
And a scooter, yeah.
I mean, it's just so funny to know you while it was happening and hear you describe it now. Yeah, man, you know, I just going out with nobody, playing the field with women who wanted nothing to do with me after they knew me for like 2 weeks.
Not a piece of quiet.
Yeah, buddy.
Not a piece of quiet.
Not a quiet. The dog could hear me sobbing over nothing because there was so much peace and quiet.
But it already licked the couch clean.
I mean, do you guys ever think about if for some reason, whatever, magic happens, you're single right now?
Mm.
Kimmy, do you think, and I need an honest answer here.
Yeah.
Do you think you have the tools, based on watching your single friends, to meet someone that you deserve and who deserves you?
No, it doesn't look like fun to me.
Okay.
Like, there's no part
of me
that.
But you could do it.
Well, but there's no part of me that
Kimmy?
Just wants to. Just think of, like, the whole, like, restart. Like, going on those awkward first dates. Like, getting to know somebody and, like, realizing maybe you don't click with them. So now it's, like, this awkward dance of, like, maybe we shouldn't see each other. I don't know. It just doesn't look like fun to me.
It does look miserable, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. Like, you know, dating was fun when you were single.
Well, when you're young, too.
Yes, you're right. Like, I watched.
It's more formal, like, the older you get, too. You're not just, like, going out and getting drunk with your friends and hopefully, like, finding somebody while you're there.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, let's meet up at this time, this place.
Here's what I'd be afraid of now. Because, like, when I started dating, there was no social media, really. Right?
Yeah.
I would be afraid now, as I'm dating, I start building up some negative reviews.
You think you matter enough where women would tweet
about
you?
Oh, he'd absolutely be on that Facebook, that secret Facebook
page. We know
a
guy, bro, who's got some bad reviews out there. Bad reviews, bro. And everybody, my hairdresser knew about his review, never met the dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
All reviews matter now. You could be a nobody and get hung.
Okay.
Yeah, I know things about guys that I've never met, but I've seen their picture.
So, like, now that all catches up with you.
Okay, but it's as simple as not being a scumbag.
I understand that, but if you have a scummy past and you're trying to reform, there ain't no reform.
Oh, what can I do? I had nothing. Honey.
I was misunderstood. But, you know, it's the South. Shouldn't even count.
You know what else really sucks about being the single friend right now? You're going to be the go-to for everybody that wants to set you up.
Yeah, the second they
meet
set you up.
Another single person. Oh, like, just because nothing to do with your personalities, but it's all just because you're both single, so you're going to get set up on a date.
So we were at a pool party at somebody's house when they tried to set me up with somebody, and it just didn't work out.
Sure.
And the two women that tried to set it up, like, were pissed off at me because I didn't go out with her again. Like, it was my fault.
Like, it'd be awkward.
But they were pissed. Like, this was supposed to work.
Well, it's an indictment on
them.
Yeah.
And their opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, look at you. They were doing you a favor.
No, they weren't. With that broad?
For God's sakes.
Hey, at least have all your fingers.
That's why she needs you.
What?
Because she's missing fingers.
But that wouldn't creep you out.
Let's not have a finger discussion.
Hi, how are you? What is that?
For God's sake. What, did you mean to rhyme that, Dr. Seuss? Let's take a break.
Yes, women need pinkies.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it can feel like every day is Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
You get up, you go to work, you come home, you have something to eat, you go to bed, rinse, repeat, do it all again.
The mundane.
And it's not like the time at your job makes anything better.
Yeah.
Right? You need to do it or else you don't eat.
Yeah.
The study we have here is a problem, but not a surprise. And it may be one of those things that is an issue without a solution.
That sucks.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Almost one half of Americans say they are burnt out at work.
Ooh.
And just so you know, this study, they define workplace burnout as a state of mental, physical, and emotional exhaustion caused by chronic workplace stress.
Okay.
Just wears you out. Man.
But that's any job if you do it long enough, right? It just becomes mundane.
I don't know. Okay, I think there might be a difference between mundane and workout. Worker burnout. Because, yes, you're right. Like, it can get boring.
Mm-hmm.
But are you at the place where you're mentally, physically, or emotionally exhausted based on what you do for a living?
Okay.
Right? Like, I mean, you can't get ahead. It's all the same. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. And Rochester may have it worse than other places.
Why?
Well, we know that one-third of people who live in the greater Rochester area work in some sort of medical capacity.
Okay.
It's the largest employer in the area. Those were one of the highest jobs that reported the highest rate of worker burnout.
Is it because of the stress of being in medical?
We would have to be. Teachers were also way up there, and mm-hmm. we have a ton of teachers around here. So let's start the conversation like this.
All right.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Tommy?
Yep.
Let's say you go out with a buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
And he looks you in the face, and he's serious. And he tells you, I'm burnt out at work, man. I dread going in every day. It's exhausting. I'm having a hard time finding the motivation just to get out of bed Monday through Friday. Your first thought about that man would be what?
God, what a complainer.
Okay.
Who cares? Like, I picked the wrong drinking buddy. I don't want to listen to this.
So he's bearing his soul to someone he thinks he could trust.
But nobody cares about your problems. Like, if you tell somebody your problems, you got two people in front of you. Two. And that's it.
Okay.
But they either don't care or they're glad you got them.
Okay, but here's the thing. All you do is come on this show and talk into a microphone about your problems.
And you two don't care.
I mean, you're right. It is annoying somebody coming in and just complaining. But at the same time, you would think this is something that everybody can relate to in some way, shape, or form. Like, we've all had jobs where you're burnt out at that job or you don't want to do that job anymore. Like, I would think, like, it's not like it's at least a conversation starter.
Apparently not, because, again, Kimmy, only one half Americans say that they are burnout at work. And,
well, currently, but at some point in your life, I would assume you experienced that.
Well, I wonder if there are certain types of personalities that are more apt to be burnout. I mean, hell, maybe there are people listening, Kimmy, that have never had this experience at their job, right? And I think that's what makes this alarming.
Mm.
Because you should have half of the country, have half of the country dreading going to their job every day. But at the same time, if the other half of Americans don't understand what that feeling's like, and they're going to look at you and think that you're soft and that this is BS, well, then fewer people are going to say, hey, this is a legitimate problem, which leads to it not getting fixed.
What would be the fix, though, if you're burnt out at the job you do?
Okay, that's a great question.
I mean, that falls on you personally.
All right, so they get into the things that contribute most to workplace burnout in this study. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Because if you have an idea, we're open to it.
Mm.
We are here to solve the world's problems. They say that the number one worker burnout cause is what they describe as a tech pivot. Do you understand what that means?
No.
When you change the technology you use every day and you have to learn something
new. Oh, okay. Yeah, that happens here all the time. It sucks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody cares.
See? Immediately.
No, you literally go, nobody cares about your problem. I name the first thing. It sucks. That's a problem for me.
It does suck.
The second tough deadlines, which you've never had in your life.
What's that?
Deadline?
Oh.
Ever?
Well, you got to show up on time.
That's not deadline. A deadline.
Yes, it is.
It's called being at work.
It's a deadline.
And then the third, unresponsive client or coworker. So tech pivots, tough deadlines, unresponsive clients or coworkers. Kimmy, does that sound right to you?
I mean, yeah, it all makes sense. I would think that would obviously, like, the more responsibilities you have, the bigger the workload is obviously going to affect you. Especially if you didn't have it before and something changed.
But again, responsibility is a relative term, right? Because your sister...
Well, you're talking about deadlines and stuff.
But, I mean, Tommy's sister worked at a gas station, felt all of these things.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And she believed she was the most important person at that gas station.
Oh, my God, yeah. And she'd tell you about it.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, to her, she was burnt out at her job.
But she was also one of those person that had, like, three jobs that didn't pay her anything, and she was going nowhere. So I think that was a big frustration, too. Like, if you're busting your ass... And you're not getting anywhere.
There's no payoff.
Understood.
That's really good. That, I think, would be the number one thing where I'm running in place and I got nothing.
Okay, but if she sat you down and wanted to talk to you about this, don't care.
Yeah, we had those conversations where I didn't care, but it all worked out.
There is one thing that doesn't show up in these top three that is surprising. Kimmy,
I was just thinking that, and I would think that not liking your coworkers would lead to that burnout, because I think... You could take that job a lot further if you enjoy the people you work with.
Okay, that's
your crew.
Good point. Yeah. All right. I was thinking boss. The fact that boss doesn't show up anywhere in the top three was very surprising to me. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, are bosses also burn out? Are we at the point where everybody going to work every day is dreading being there and nobody wants to talk about it? I'm being serious.
I mean, it could be.
Right? I mean, because, like, their job is also a job.
Yeah.
Huh? Huh? 252 WCMF, almost one half Americans admit they are burnt out at their job. And in this study, they define workplace burnout as a state of mental, physical, or emotional exhaustion caused by chronic workplace stress. And I asked Tommy if his buddy sits him down at a bar and tells him, I'm burnt out at work, I don't want to go back in, it's driving me crazy, I don't know what to do, you'd look at that guy as a bitch.
Yes.
Complainer.
Yes.
Doesn't really matter.
I will say, too, like, the work environment now compared to what it was 20 years ago is way different. Just as far as, like, what was tolerated, what wasn't tolerated, what you were expected to do, the fact that they can watch your ass now, where 20 years ago, look at my dad's day. When he left the office, he was a ghost.
Yeah.
He could do what he wanted to do.
Sure.
There weren't so many eyes on you.
So you're saying the fact that we're now being held responsible.
You're so much more connected to your job.
Okay.
So, like, 20 years ago, you went home.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't go home. Now your phone's with you, and so the office is in your pocket.
Yeah, and you're not wrong about
that. Makes sense.
So you're constantly on a leash.
No, you're right. You're right.
And the leash came off at 5 o'clock.
Man.
Yeah.
You know, the study does make something else we saw like 2 or 3 years ago make a little more sense. For the first time in American history, people said they would rather take less money at a new job for a better work-life balance. You remember having this conversation, and you could not wrap your head around
it. Because I always thought, you know, money rules.
But, like, for these people, the salary wasn't worth the stress in their life. Mm. And, I mean, to your point, there is more stress with today's jobs than there were in past generations. So I understand why you, a guy that's been around for as long as you have, would think money, right? You also don't work a very stressful job.
Yeah, I keep it that way.
And even,
I keep it that way.
Let me tell you what I do.
I'm in control.
I don't have the skill to do anything else, so therefore I keep it that way.
Yes.
I am the dumbest man that ever existed.
It works for me.
We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF for the Break Room Facebook page. This comes in from John. John, clearly Team Tommy here. If you don't like your job and you burn out, quit and go find another job. And you're going to go find another job and you're going to complain about that, because there are two types of people. People that complain and people that go do their job, and people that are burnt out at work are just the folks that complain.
I mean, there are those people do exist.
You agree with John?
I'm not saying it's 100%.
Look at you.
But they are out there.
Listen to you right
now.
They
are out there, Patrick.
All right. If people are afraid to say something, this just gets worse.
But I thought, like, right now with the way they need people, that the average worker was in a driver's seat to go change jobs.
I mean, I don't know. Talk to the people. Maybe you're right. I don't know if it's the way it was.
Did that change?
3-4 years ago. I mean, look, let's put it this way. You see companies and the federal government trying to bring people back, forcing people back that were working from home. If they needed those people, they wouldn't be doing that.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, you also hear stories of places that are short-staffed. They're still making demands of their employees.
They don't have enough people to get the job done now.
Okay, but if that was a legitimate problem, you wouldn't be making these demands that are making people want to leave where they're going. So I don't know if it's there's still a shortage, mm-hmm. or these companies are just trying to get by on fewer people.
Or they realize they can, and they don't need you.
There you go, yeah. Which is also a problem. I don't know, man. But, like, if this is a legitimate problem, all right, I wonder if the average person feels comfortable going to their boss and saying, look, I'm burnt out right now. I got to do something about this. I need help.
I don't know what the boss could tell you.
Well, I mean, no, I'm sure there are things that can be done with your job that can make things a little bit easier for you. Is that a bitch move, too?
I'd be afraid of what that, how that would play out.
Oh, you were scared?
Yes. Because I'd rather quit.
Oh, no.
You'd rather quit than try to find a solution?
Because now you're letting the boss figure out your problem for you.
It kind of depends on your boss and the way that they manage everybody. Because I think there are some bosses where you may feel more comfortable going to and having that type of conversation, but then there are other people who, like, they're the people that kind of set the example, and they'll make examples out of people for working hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they set the bar really high, and I'd be afraid to go to that person with concerns.
Because you're gonna hit that wall. If you go to the boss, you're gonna hit that wall, and the wall's gonna show up real quick.
What do you mean?
If I do it for you, I got to do it for everybody.
Why is our boss Southern?
That's the way it works, son. All bosses turn Southern when it comes to my pocketbook.
No, but I mean,
that's what they're going to tell you. Like, if I can't do that for everybody, I can't run a business.
Oh,
like
then
that.
I can't work here for
you. And you better be the first.
Then you already got your answer before you walked in the door.
I'm sorry, Kimmy.
Son, there's plenty of opportunity out there because the world needs ditch diggers too.
Okay, Kimmy, I would like to point out what might have been the stupidest statement Tommy ever said.
Ooh, let me hear it.
Instead of going to your boss to see if something can get worked out, quit. The worst case scenario is your boss tells you, I can't do nothing, quit. Why not at least take a swing before you quit?
You because it
doesn't.
Afterwards.
The answer you're looking for doesn't exist in your boss's mouth.
Again, this is a problem because that's not necessarily true. The fact that you have that in your head means nobody is going to go and say, hey, I need help here. I want to be here. I just got.
He ain't in business. The man.
Oh.
Ain't in business to candy your ass.
Shut up.
I know lady bosses do. Lady bosses can also be a-holes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. I did misspeak.
Kimmy,
ladies can be mean.
You were saying, sorry.
I'm saying if
you,
back to going to your boss with concerns, I would feel funny doing that if I was the second person to do that.
Okay.
Like, let's say somebody goes and because they're burnt out and it works out for them, the boss gives them time off,
right.
Less responsibility, whatever. Well, if I saw that like it worked out for that person, I don't want to go and be like the copycat person because I'm afraid they're going to tell me no.
Okay, but again.
But he kind of opened up the door.
And the worst.
Yeah, but now are they going to do it for everybody? Because what if somebody else follows me? I don't know.
But you know what the boss is going to say.
What's that?
If I do it for you, son, I got to do it for everybody.
But you already did it for them.
Hmm.
Well, that's it. Well, that door is closed. Now the horses run.
Let's take a break.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If this guy wasn't such a dick, you would feel bad for him in this story.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you want to live the way this guy lives, you got two ways. You can either deal with the consequences and say, F it, or when it all comes home to roost, go, wait, guys. You're hanging out in the break room, Rutz, just classic rock, 96.5, WCMF. So over the weekend, we now find out for sure, absolutely no questions asked, the Jets are moving on from Aaron Rodgers. So they will have a new quarterback next season, and if Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to continue to play in the NFL, he will have a new team. But there is a little tidbit of information that kind of flew under the radar.
What happened?
Steve Helling, who writes for the New York Post, says that when Aaron Rodgers was brought into the meeting with the new Jets brass, he was pretty much informed right away they were going to go in a different direction.
So this was basically his exit interview.
You got it. Okay. So what's interesting about this is the initial story said that there were conditions put on Aaron Rodgers.
Like agree to or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it sounds like maybe, Kimmy, that came from Rodgers' agent.
Okay.
That he had some kind of control in the meeting.
Okay.
When in reality, he had none. Because according to this writer for the Post,
what happened?
When Rodgers was told the team was going to go in a different direction, Rodgers, and I quote, pleaded with the new Jets head coach and general manager to keep him on the team next season.
So was he physically in the room with them? Or was he was, like,
yes, he,
so
flew,
he flew
in
and sat
for this.
Down face to face.
Yes.
And he pleaded for his job?
He pleaded with the Jets, I'm quoting, the Jets head coach and general manager to keep him on the team next season. He told the new head coach and GM he just needed a little more time in New York.
Okay.
And despite his, and again, please, the new regime said no to his face.
Because they've already made up their mind before he walked in the room.
Think. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, bro, there's, like there's not much mind to make up.
And you'd think his agent would have told him this.
I almost think like they thought that they could give him these things to agree to, like thinking he was just going to walk away. And he didn't. And so that's when they probably had to say, yeah, look, we don't want to do this anymore.
But that's even if that happened, Kimmy.
Yeah,
I mean, look, I mean,
it's possible that they tried to, like, lay the law down and be like, he's not even going to want to be here anymore. Like, maybe he'll decide to give it up, and then he didn't. So they were forced.
What a difference 2 years makes. Because lest we not forget, the Jets had their head coach and general manager flying out to Aaron Rodgers to convince him to come to New York.
He's going
to
woo him, right?
You got it. They hired his favorite offensive coordinator, a guy who had been a failure everywhere else in the league, and a bunch of his old buddies from Green Bay. Mm. Even last year, when everything was on fire, they traded a third-round pick for Devontae Adams, his old buddy. They let him miss team activities to go to Egypt on vacation.
Oh. What is camel season?
And on this, in this story, you now have this man who demanded all of these things begging to keep his job.
I'm sorry. I promise I'll show up to training camp and participate.
You hit it on the head. Kimmy, what the hell happened? What the hell happened?
I think he thought he was untouchable. I'm sure a lot of
he kind of was. And I mean, he was the toast of the town when he came there. So why wouldn't he feel like that? Like, they sought him out.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he feel that way?
In all honesty, I think a lot of players to that level probably think that they do, especially once they get to that point in their careers. But yeah, he just realized he, you know, was expendable.
Okay, but there's a couple of things here.
What's that?
Now, look, I get going into New York, he would have thought he's that guy, right?
Yeah.
I am him, as the players like to say these days. Nobody can touch me. Between the Achilles injury and the stats you put up last season, you're not. And by the way, here's a fun fact.
What's that?
Did you know that despite the fact that Aaron Rodgers' team went, what, 5-12 last season in New York, he still had statistically the best season for a Jets quarterback in, like,
him,
forever?
Well, it wasn't his fault.
That's how bad they were.
That's how bad the Jets quarterbacks have been. I mean, hell, even Joe Namath, who's the best quarterback in Jets history, has more interceptions than touchdowns. He has a losing record, and somehow he's still a Hall of Famer. So, yeah, I mean, his argument is, I'm the best quarterback the Jets have ever had. Might be valid. Still doesn't make you good.
Yeah.
But, Kimmy, going back to your point a second ago about, you know, realizing that I'm in a bad spot, Aaron Rodgers is a guy who likes to use the term alpha male.
Okay.
And he looks at himself as an alpha man.
Well, he's a quarterback in the NFL. He won a Super Bowl.
Fine.
Those are pretty good alpha stats.
I would think that if you carry yourself in this way, and, you know, this is how things are going to be, and if you don't like it, too bad, that when they look you in the face and say, we don't want you anymore, even if you want to be there.
I don't want to be here anyway.
Yes, walk out.
You would think.
Yeah. Don't sit there and be like, please, pretty please, I have an apartment that I like in Manhattan.
Yeah, he just settled down, man.
I think he does have, like, some massive house in New Jersey.
Oh, I'm sure he's got a man.
I remember they did a whole story on it.
He's got to have it, right? Next to, like, Bon Jovi. They're probably neighbors.
252-WCMF. A reporter for the New York Post is saying, came out over the weekend, that when Aaron Rodgers flew to New York to meet with the new Jets head coach and general manager, they pretty much informed him from the get-go the team was going in a different direction. And when that happened, Rodgers, and I quote, pleaded with the Jets' new head coach and GM to keep him on this team next season. So there is one more interesting wrinkle that has developed over the week.
What happened?
There is now belief that the New York Giants would be open to signing Aaron Rodgers for next season.
So he doesn't even have to do anything. He doesn't have to move nothing.
No. Same practice spot.
Same stadium.
Everything. Yeah. So, I mean, if we know Aaron Rodgers is a petty man.
Yeah.
So this would give him the ability to try and stick it to the Jets in the same
and turn New York and turn the Giants around.
Yeah, okay. So you're not gonna
alone because you're only bringing him in to blow everybody out.
Yeah,
right?
So, yes. I mean, yeah. So
at this point,
the Giants are gonna bring in a quarterback either this year or next year. So he's not the long-term solution. The Giants are not gonna win anything. So you have no championship aspirations like he had coming to New York thinking he was gonna outdo Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah.
So you'd just be finishing your career
in New York.
Yeah, probably on a team that is not going to make the playoffs, and you most likely have a losing record with the talent they have on
and
that
And
they're
roster. On shaky ground anyway, even like their coaching staff, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, Brian Daboll.
I mean, how long are they going to tolerate that?
One more season, it sounds like.
So it'd be the Jets all over again.
Yes, essentially. So, I mean, if he wanted to put himself in that situation, I guess he could. I don't see, again, we've talked about this, I don't see another spot where he has a legitimate championship, even playoff potential. Oakland, maybe, or L.A.? Las Vegas? Damn it.
Unless, you know, he's going to sit behind somebody as a backup.
Yeah,
right. Which isn't happening.
That is not going to happen. And why would you want to sign a guy like that as a backup?
So if he stays around, it's just going to end even more poorly?
Which is normally how these stories go, right? I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen a legendary quarterback go down this road. And I get that Tom Brady doing what he did in Tampa Bay kind of like skewed how things normally go. But the overwhelming majority of the time, if a quarterback doesn't walk away after a Super Bowl season, it ends poorly, right? I mean, Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis, Matt Ryan in Indianapolis, Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. I just keep saying Indianapolis.
Yeah, but they faded out. It's not like they went and blew up the franchise on their way out, you know.
Okay, that's fair.
Here's what kills me now. Like, I get back in the day when there was not a lot of avenues for you to make money as an athlete retired.
Yeah.
But now it just seems endless what you could do with your name. Where, why are you sticking around to sink?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you, first of all, you don't need money to begin with. But if you just need the limelight, there's a million ways to do it now where guys like Namath, you know, there was a few opportunities.
Sure. I will say this, and this applies to Travis Kelce, too. Over the weekend, the Kansas City Chiefs told Travis Kelce, you have until March to decide if you're going to play next season. He is debating.
I thought
retirement.
Elon Musk fired him. They told him noon. Saturday.
I think when it comes to guys like Aaron Rodgers and Travis Kelce and any other professional athlete, you're right about the money and you're right about the stature, but I don't know what it feels like to run out of a tunnel in front of 70,000 people that love you.
Yeah, I understand. I get that.
I don't know what it's like to catch a ball across the middle and hear the whole place explode.
Yeah.
And I think these guys understand that once that's gone, it's never coming back.
Yeah.
I think it
being
is.
Being beloved by an entire fan base everywhere you go.
I mean, it's that. I think it could just be the energy, the excitement of it. I mean, think how many
it's the moment.
Yes. I mean, how many guys long for the Friday night lights of high school football? And that is an infinitesimal percentage of what these guys get.
Yeah, it must be. Because to me, I look at these guys going, man, you can just print money the rest of your life and go live whatever kind of crazy King's ransom you want.
But to take it a step further with Aaron Rodgers, I don't know who would hire him as a talking head.
But you could do your own.
Yeah, he could do
everybody's.
His own thing,
he's got a fan
honestly.
Base. There's
a place for all former athletes.
Fair enough.
Right.
No matter
what you think. He is popular. I mean, he's a name. Like, he's got fans. I mean, he could go make money.
Okay. No, you're not wrong.
And Travis Kelce, Jesus Christ, that guy could go into TV, movies, wherever he wants.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's good to go.
TV
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a good problem to have.
No, I think you're right. I think it's the juice of that moment of feeling invincible in front of 70,000 people. It's got to be a drug that you just can't replace.
Yeah, and I get it.
So
get
you
it.
Go down this rabbit hole of sticking around way too long.
And I mean, every guy does. I'm sorry, go ahead, Kimmy.
But is there still that satisfaction when you're losing and you're not doing well?
You're chasing
you're
it. It's like an addict. It's like a gambler.
All right.
You keep going back in thinking this is going to be the night.
Yeah.
And you don't want to walk away on a 5-12. You don't want to walk away on a Super Bowl loss. Exactly.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.